One of my favorite parts of a meal is the bread. And I like it fixed a lot of different ways. Sometimes I like jelly on it, and sometimes I like honey on it, and sometimes I don't like anything on it. But I like my bread. I want to talk to you about something better than that this morning, and that is the bread of life. And keep your Bibles in John chapter 6. This is one of the most difficult teachings of Jesus. As a matter of fact, in verse 60, many of the disciples responded to his teaching saying, "This is a difficult statement, who can listen to it?" And so this morning, I want us to do the very best we can in understanding it, and I'll do the best I can in presenting some thoughts from these verses. Beginning with verse 1 in John chapter 6, we see that Jesus fed 5,000. Now that is 5,000 men. And if you add the women, and you got to figure, if the women were there, there had to be the children there also. And so there could easily be 20,000, 30,000. The size of the families at this time could easily be more than that. And that's the size of a whole community, small town. So Jesus had done a very incredible miracle. And so the people there were seeking after Jesus. They wanted to see these signs. And Jesus sent the apostles to the other side of the Sea of Capernaum. And a storm came, and they were having difficulty getting to the other side, and Jesus walked on the water that night. The next day, people came to the other side of the sea because they wanted to see some more miracles, and they wanted some more of this bread. And so now Jesus goes with this very lengthy teaching on bread, and he is encouraging the people not to seek for this physical bread that he had fed them with yesterday, but other bread that's more important than that, and that is the bread of life. Now verses 33 through 35, as we've already read this morning, and I want you to look at it with me one more time. And the basic lesson is this: Jesus is the bread of life. Verse 33. "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." And so he says, "I am the bread that you are asking for." Verses a little bit further down, we'll look at verses 67 and 68, that Jesus is the bread of life and his words are eternal life. Before we get down to that, though, get your song books out. I want you to look at song number 355 with me. Probably like me, you have sung this song a lot. And I want you to notice the words here. Sometimes we sing it for the Lord's Supper, and I'm not opposed to that. I think it's very appropriate. I would have no problem leading it. I probably led it. But the Lord's Supper bread is really not what this song is talking about. It's talking about something else. It's talking about Jesus being the bread of life. "Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Within the sacred page I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word." Now immediately this song points us to the fact, yes, Jesus is the bread of life, but more specifically, his word is the bread of life. Now look at verse 2. "Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me today, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all." There's another song we sing, "My All in All." Verse 3. "Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth, that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love." This song isn't about the Lord's Supper. It's not about breaking the bread at the Lord's Supper. It's about what we are talking about this morning. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. As a matter of fact, it is his word specifically that is the bread which you and I eat. Now look at chapter 6 again, verse 63. Verse 63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." We're talking about the bread of life. What is it that gives life? It is the Spirit. How does the Spirit do that? Through the Word of God. Therefore, the Word of Jesus Christ, this is the bread of life which you and I must partake of. Verses 67 and 68. Here, some of the disciples had left, and Jesus asked in verse 67, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Now, Peter responds, verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." So, yes, Jesus is the bread of life. Specifically, His Word is that bread which we must eat. John chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus is the Word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus is the Word of life. John chapter 5, verse 24, we hear Jesus' Word and we believe in God, and if we do that, we have eternal life and know that we've passed from death into life. And John 12, 48, the Word which Jesus speaks is the Word by which we will be judged in the last day. Now turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter uses this food analogy a little bit, and I want us to be reminded of this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word." Now here is a food analogy. And the Word is like a baby's milk. And he says, "Long for the milk of the Word, so by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Now, what does a baby desire about milk, about food? Well, a baby does not desire to starve to death. And you've been around babies enough to know what happens when a baby gets hungry. A baby wakes up in the middle of the night and the baby is crying, and there's nothing you can do for this baby until you feed this baby. My parents tell a story when I was just a baby. And the doctor had me on a pretty strict diet. And he was smart. I needed to be on a strict diet. I've struggled with weight all of my life. But I cried constantly, and my dad finally got tired of it, and he said, "Betty, give that baby something to eat so that I'd be quiet." And they started feeding me more food, and I didn't cry nearly as much. A baby doesn't want to starve to death. A baby will cry and cry and cry until it gets what it wants, and that's something to eat. And now that tells us something about ourselves, doesn't it? We think about the bread of life, and we think about the fact that this is the Word of God. And what is our attitude toward the Word of God? How long is it until we'll start crying and crying and crying like a baby, and we will not be quiet or do anything else until we partake of the Word of God? What is our attitude about this? Or have we become complacent and, like the world, believe me, I struggle with this all the time, to just leave the Bible wherever we leave it? Sometimes we'll leave it at the church building and not take it home. Sometimes we'll leave it at home and not bring it to the church building. Sometimes we won't pick it up throughout the week. Sometimes we'll begrudge getting our Bible class lessons ready. To be the spiritual people we are to be, we are to long and have this longing just as a little baby and not accept anything else. And not stop until we are fulfilled. Food is necessary to live. And there are different types of food. There's different types of spiritual food in the world today. There's all sorts of different religions. There's paganism. There's Satanism. There's humanism. There's all sorts of different quote-unquote Christian religions. But I want you to notice this. That a baby must be fed with the proper food or it will die. We as human beings, we must be fed with the proper food or we will die. And we must have a proper diet. As we think very broadly, if we have a diet without fruits and vegetables, Or if we have a diet that's got all of one thing and nothing of the other things, what's going to happen? We're going to deteriorate in our health, and we're going to eventually die. We will certainly die early. If we eat all junk food, what's going to happen? Cancer is now linked to obesity. If we overeat constantly and we gorge and we stuff ourselves, what's going to happen? Eating breakfast improves mental health and test scores. Food is important. You could say for everything that we do. Without food, we can do nothing. Without food, we will die. The same thing is true spiritually. A diet without the Word of God results in eternal damnation. A proper diet. And it's wonderful that everybody is here today. It's wonderful that you have your Bibles open. That's good. But does it stop there? Think about that. Can you eat for your physical diet? Can you eat three meals a week and survive? Think about your spiritual diet. Can you go to the Word of God three times a week and survive? Think about that. We must eat the proper diet to live spiritually and to be healthy. Now I want to go to John chapter 6, back to that chapter, and begin in verse 51. Because this is where it gets difficult in Jesus' teaching. Jesus says this. He says that you must eat me. And if that is not vivid enough, and in its own way, grotesque enough, he says, you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood. And if you can imagine that imagery, it's pretty grotesque. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, some folks say, well, that's talking about the Lord's Supper. I don't think so. Because if it was, we could partake of the Lord's Supper and we would be saved no matter what. Certainly, we would not need to be baptized. Just come to church, partake of the Lord's Supper, and that's it. I don't think so. Let's talk about this. Let's look at it in a little bit more detail. What does it mean to eat Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4 that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I think this is telling us about what he's talking about. That it's not the bread, the literal bread that we eat. That's not what it's important. It is the figurative bread that we eat. And what is the figurative bread? It is Jesus Christ. We must eat the Word of God, the bread of life. What does that mean? We must take it into our minds. We must digest it. We must use it to help us grow and to mature and to keep us healthy and to change us and have an effect upon us. Yes, food has an effect. Just take a child and feed him sugar all day long, and that child will drive you crazy. You'll see that it has an effect. When you get older like me and you have to worry about your sugar levels and things like that, just don't eat a proper diet and see what happens to your sugar, and you'll end up in bed. If you do it long enough, you'll end up in the hospital. Yes, food has an effect upon us. We must take the Word of God into our life. We must eat it, take it into our minds, digest it, and let it have its effect on us. Since Jesus is the Word, John 1:1, the Word of life, 1 John 1:1, we must therefore eat Him. That's what it's talking about figuratively. Now, go with me to chapter 6, verse 35. Let's look at the figurative context. Now we're going to look at a literal context within the same chapter. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." So this is the figurative. Jesus is the bread of life. We go to Him. We believe. We will not hunger or thirst. These cravings figuratively. We will not have these cravings. We will be fulfilled. We will be filled. We will be sustained. We will be fed as we need to be fed. So He sets up the figurative analogy early on in the discourse. Now let's drop down to verse 51. There is a literal usage of it, and in a second we're going to combine the two together. Verse 51. "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Literally, He gave His flesh. So we have a figurative, Jesus is the bread of life, that we must eat Him. He's literally, he's told us that this is His Word. There is a literal sense in which it's used, that Jesus will give His flesh for the world, to save the world, and that is on the cross. Figuratively, it is the Word of God, which Jesus delivered to the earth. Literally, it is His flesh, His body that He gave upon the cross. Let's put them together. Word of the cross. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Word and cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the word of the cross is foolishness." The Apostle Paul puts them right together, doesn't he? The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of the cross. If Jesus were to come to earth and he would have preached all that He preached, but if He would not have gone to the cross, what effect could that word have on the world and on you and I? Zero. It takes both. Jesus coming to the earth, Jesus delivering His word, Jesus fulfilling His mission as the Son of God to die upon the cross, and therefore it is the word of the cross. You and I must partake of the word of the cross. We must ingest, eat the word of the cross. And when we do so, figuratively, we eat Jesus. We eat His flesh and we drink His blood. That means we have partnership with Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ. As we obey His commands, being baptized into Christ, having been crucified with Him and buried with Him. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me." Eating His flesh, drinking His blood. "Now it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I do so by faith in the Son of God." Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ, clothe yourselves with Christ." It's no longer Christ that lives. No longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So to partake of the flesh of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, we must partake of His Word. Although that could be very difficult to understand, I think all of us can understand the basics. We must partake of the Word of God. We must bring it into our minds, digest it, use it to change our lives. Now, this last point, I think, is probably the most important one of all. Go with me to chapter 6 again, and now verse 26. And this is really at the beginning of the discourse of Jesus. And I save this to the end because I believe this is the most important part for you and I. Because we're not living in the first century. We're not living during the time when Jesus was walking upon the earth, when the apostles did not understand many things. We're living at a time when we have the mind of God disclosed by Jesus, recorded by the apostles, expounded upon through the Holy Spirit, written in scriptures. To you and I, these things seem pretty easy. You know, yeah, I've got to partake of the Word of God. I've got to bring it into my life, and I've got to obey that, understand that. And if Jesus wants to use some analogy about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, that's fine with me, although it sounds sort of gross to me. That's all right. But here is the big point right here. Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Verse 27. "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." And I want to focus on for just a moment the word work. Work. Because we can understand what the Lord's been talking about today. But unless we understand this fact, that we have to work for it. And we know what it means to work. It's hard to work. It's labor. It's difficult. It's intense. It's labor. We may sweat. Our brain may feel like, you know, it's overloaded. We brought in so much information, like the kids are taking finals now. We know what it means to work. It is not easy. It is not always fun. It is difficult. It takes time. We must make it a priority to do that, just like our students are doing. They could blow off finals week. They could not study. They could not put in the time and the energy and the work and the labor, and they could get F's or D's or C's or whatever it is and get their grades and go on and get promoted to the next grade. Or they could do their very best and they could work and they could labor and they could be tired and stay up late and get less sleep, and you know the routine. It is work. And brethren, I ask you, are we working to eat of this food? Or are we just playing church? That's the question. Verse 28. "Therefore they said to him, 'What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?'" Now although the Jews, I think, are sort of getting off on a different question here, I want to use this for our question. Verse 29. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe.'" And we talked about that in great detail last Sunday morning and this Sunday morning in the adult Bible class. And we can be people and we say, "Oh yes, I believe." And we can almost be like some of those in some other religions and say, "I believe," but they do nothing. And you're doing something because you're here today. But let me ask you this. You're the only person who can answer it. Are you working to eat of the bread of life? Are you working to eat of the bread of life? Are you working to understand it better? To know it better? Are you working to say, "You know, this year I'm going to study this, and I'm going to understand it better, and I'm going to know where it's at in my Bible, and I can talk about it with anybody who wants to talk about it, and I can turn to the passages, and I can show them the passages, and I can explain the passages, and I can relate the passages to these other things, because I am working to do this"? Or do we just play church and play Bible class? I take my Bible class book and I fill out a few questions, and I really have not pressured myself. I've not been very strenuous about it. I've not tried to memorize it. I'm not committing it to memory. I've just got it here. I filled out the questions. I forget it, and it's really not done me any good at all. Are we working to eat of the bread, or are we just like children on the playground? They're working on the playground, right, in some technical fashion. But they're just goofing off having fun. And that's really not a big deal to them. It's not changing their lives. Are we being strenuous about it? Or are we just, if we've got a couple of extra minutes, we may decide, you know, if our favorite show's not on, maybe we're going to look at something a little bit. Not memorize, not try to learn, not try to commit to memory, not be a better Bible student today than last year. And you're the only one who can answer that question. We must work for the spiritual food. You know the passage, Matthew 6:33, our main mission in life, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and then He'll give us all the physical necessities. Well, brethren, if I can apply this to this for just a minute, that our mission in life here is to eat this bread of life, this Word of God, and not worry about all these other things. And believe me, let me tell you, I struggle with this, I'm sure, as much as everybody, as everyone right here today. But what do? We put our focus on the physical bread, do we not? And then this right here is a little leftovers we might have every once in a while. Am I right? Are you working for the spiritual food so you can live it forever? Personal study, meditation, faithfully attending Bible study and assembly, prepared lessons, prepared physically, prepared mentally, applying God's Word to your life, repenting and changing and improving weekly, monthly, yearly, because you believe. And let me suggest to you, as I suggest to myself, the way to increase our work in partaking of this bread right here is to increase our faith. Is that not how it works? When we increase our faith, we will increase our partaking of this food. Weak faith, weak Bible student. More faith, better Bible student. And because of better Bible students, even more faith than that. We'll extend the gospel invitation. Number 269. Are you eating the bread of life? Are you eating enough of the bread of life? Are you eating a balanced diet? Proper diet? Think about these things. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're not a Christian this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ can save you. Because of your faith, your willingness to repent of your sins, to demonstrate your faith, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be immersed in water, baptized for remission of your sins, Jesus has promised you that He will apply His blood to your soul and wash away your sins. If we can help you at all this morning, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.